The House will come to order. Members, please take your seats. Members and visitors in the gallery, please rise for the prayer. The prayer today will be given by Representative Schoaf. Representative Schoaf, please approach the well.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good morning, everybody. Please bow your heads. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you today with love and humbleness, open hearts. We want to thank you for all of the blessings in life. Please keep us strong and healthy and sound mind. Amen.
Amen. Outstanding. The clerk will unlock the machine and the members will record their presence. Have all members recorded their presence? Have all members recorded their presence? The clerk will lock the machine and announce the presence of quorum.
106 members voting. A quorum is present, Mr. Speaker.
Members and visitors in the gallery, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. The pledge will be led today by Representative Clemens from his desk.
I pledge allegiance to the flag. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there corrections to the journal? Hearing none, show the journal approved. Are there matters on introduction and reference?
None on the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Are there communications?
None on the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Are there messages from the Senate?
None on the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Are there reports of standing committees and subcommittees?
None on the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Are there motions relating to committee and subcommittee references? Are there matters on reconsideration? Are there bills or joint resolutions on third reading?
On the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Read the first bill.
By Senator Engolia, Senate Bill 6B, a bill to be entitled An Act Relating to Transportation of Inspected Unauthorized Aliens.
Representative Snyder, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is the transportation bill we discussed yesterday.
Are there any amendments?
None on the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Members, we're going to be going into structured debate on SB 6B. Debate will be limited to 75 minutes per side in 15-minute increments. Total debate time not to exceed 150 minutes. Representative Gottlieb, you are recognized to begin in debate, and the clerk will start the debate clock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the floor to Representative Woodson.
Representative Woodson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, members. Members. Immigrants and asylum seekers are human beings, and they need to be treated as such. They are sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and friends. I am an immigrant. I am from Haiti. And you have heard my stories over and over. Immigrants left their homes, they left their families. They left everything they knew to risk their lives in search of better opportunities. Where is the humanity in House Bill 5? Where is the understanding that these people are not leaving their homes to come here for a vacation? They are leaving because they are fleeing persecution, violence, crime, atrocities, rape, dictatorship, insecurity, poverty, and you name it. Dictatorship, I will tell you about dictatorship. I left Haiti, and I will tell you again why. I was a very good student who aspired to go to medical school. I couldn't attend the medical school that I scored 100% on the exam. And you know why? Because I did not have a godfather working for the government. That was the only reason. So I had to leave my home and come to these United States of America. Who took me with open arms? Fortunately, my dad could afford to send me by plane, bought a ticket, and sent me here to live with my family because I already had family who were living here. But guess what? Those asylum seekers don't have that opportunity to come here by plane. I believe that our debate today should focus on the fact that the asylum seekers are real people. We all have to agree that a lack of leadership, a lack of vision in their countries is a major contributor to them leaving their native lands. But is that a reason for them to be treated in such an inhuman manner? I'm an immigrant and I know what it feels like to leave your home. I have done it, and believe me, it takes a big toll on you physically, mentally, emotionally. I know some of you have never been in the shoes of an immigrant, and you cannot understand the emotional and physical toll that it takes on people. This type of displacement, the type of effect that this displacement can take on a human being. We know that the migrants are coming from different places, such as Cuba, Venezuela, Mexico, Haiti, and so many other places. However, being Haitian, I can speak to the struggles and the challenges that they face when they begin their journey to arriving in these United States of America that we all call home. And I know a lot of us are immigrants in this room. If not us, our ancestors are immigrants. Members, to get on a boat filled of dozens of people with little to no food, leaving your family and everything that you have ever known, not knowing if you would make it alive or dead to be found by the Coast Guard, means that the United States is truly special. And we should recognize what makes America special and not turning our backs on those who want to join the great American promise, because I'm living it. I left Haiti and now I find myself in this chamber with you being a state representative. So I have an obligation to make sure that people are treated with the respect and dignity that they deserve, and for us not to turn the back on them or treat them like they're like they're in a chess game. As the famous poet Emma Lazarus stated on the Status of Liberty, "Give me your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores." I hope these words resonate with you this morning. Instead of shutting these people out and transporting them all over the country in the name of what we're doing, as HB 5 will do, you should live up to the great ideals that we claim to stand for. Let's work together to create a Florida in which we all are welcome. Yes, I'm not saying for the United States or Florida to take, but guess what? They are here. They came for a purpose. And we know it's a lack of leadership in these countries. Why can't we work and have a better process instead of doing that to them? They are my brothers, they are my sisters, and they are me. Florida welcomed me with open arms, and I'm grateful. And I want to do the same for all who seek to join us in progress with us. Those immigrants, those asylum seekers, they are the one when you go to a restaurant, they are the one fixing your food. They are the one cleaning at those hotels where we are staying right now. They are the one, some of them could be right here in this building, cleaning this building where you go in every morning. So let's fix our broken immigration system. Let's put ourselves sometimes in those people places. You have never been there, but guess what? That can be one of your family members as well. And I'm pretty sure some of us in this chamber have some families who are there being those asylum seekers, and we just close our eyes and turn our back on them. Let us keep weaving the rich tapestry of Florida instead of abruptly, and I would say abruptly because this is what we're doing, severing those threads. I urge you, my fellow members, please, please, please. And I know we all are human. And I know you have a heart. And I know you can do what's right. Let's have a heart. Let's do something. Let's do something that we all can remember, something that we all can be proud of. And vote no on this bill. Because we can go back and try to fix the problem as opposed to making it worse for human beings. And if it's one thing else that I will do, I don't want them to be called alien anymore. I do not want them to be called aliens. What is an alien? What is an alien? We know what an alien is. These are human beings. And words sometimes can be. I'm getting a little nervous about this because this should not be happening here. I want us to rename, to use another term as opposed to aliens. So members, please let the humanity in you this morning prevail. Please vote no on this bill and stand with me because I know a lot of you. You call me friends. We are friends. I respect you and respect me also and respect the asylum seekers. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Representative Gottlieb, you recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the floor to Representative Darrell Campbell.
Representative Campbell, you recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this bill is not about Floridians. It's not even about migrants. It's about the governor dictating to this legislature questionable policies while misusing taxpayer funds. This bill is being called a solution of migrants. But all it does is raise questions. Questions you cannot find in the bill analysis. The sponsor cannot sufficiently answer. Questions like, how does the Division of Emergency Management find these migrants? How will the federal government know where these people are after they have been transported? And above all else, how does this help Floridians put food on their table? How will it help Floridians get good health care? How will it help find affordable place to live in our state? The only answer that can be provided from the bill analysis is that there are 863,929 enforcement actions on the southwest border of who knows what to date this year. In that number, those expelled from that country, those not permitted to enter, and those detained. Nowhere in that information it says how many people are released from the country or inspected individuals in the country. We are taking $10 million to create a Florida program where our funds will be used towards every state other than the state of Florida based on non-existent data. If only sense made sense. To transport migrants that have already been inspected by the federal government, what are we doing? We all are making a sacrifice from our families and our full-time jobs to be here. Surely we can make better use of our time here and Florida taxpayer money. For this reason and many other reasons, I'm a no on this bill. And I hope anyone that can't provide these answers to these questions are no too. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the remaining time in this segment.
Representative Grant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would you please recognize Representative Amnesty in debate?
Representative Amnesty in debate, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just would like to share with members across the other aisle, I was born in Venezuela, and it is very important for us to understand that this is a country of law and order. When we were elected, whether it was for re-election or elected for the first time on November 22nd of 2022, our constitutional duty, the reason we are here, is to protect every Floridian. And this is what this bill is intended to do so. Representative Snyder, I commend you for this amazing bill to protect every Floridian. It's a matter of national security. What is going on at the border, it's a crisis. What the Biden administration is doing currently, it's a crisis. And we are here solely to say Florida is not a sanctuary city. And for such, we are allocating transportation funds for them to be transported to a state that is currently a sanctuary city. We understand they are humans. Again, I was born in Venezuela. We love everyone, but the state of Florida cannot take that burden. And for such, they're going to be transported to a state that will do so and will care for all the asylum seekers. Thank you so much, leadership, and thank you, Representative Snyder, for this amazing bill. Thank you.
Representative Grant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We waive our the remainder of our time in this segment.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the floor to Representative Rita Harris.
Representative Harris, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand opposed to this bill today, and I want to remind everybody that immigrants are human beings first and foremost, and kind of shocked to be debating this bill in this space, knowing that so many members of this House, regardless of party, are immigrants themselves. So I want to start off by saying that. So I myself am the proud granddaughter of immigrants. My great-grandparents boarded boats in Ireland and Italy and made the choice to leave everything that was safe and comfortable to come here to make a better life for their families. They went to a place where they didn't know the language and they didn't know the geography because they knew that America could provide something for them, and that was freedom and opportunity. And I think of how they sailed in to the harbor in New York City and saw the Statue of Liberty with her beacon. And it chokes me up so much to this day that I cannot drive into the city and not be brought to tears by that sight. The folks targeted by this bill are escaping excruciating conditions. Many of them are coming from places like communist Cuba. And they're coming here because they know and understand the hope this country provides. I had a neighbor who was from Morocco, and I was chatting to him about the United States. And he said, I love this country so much because look at me here talking to you. We are neighbors. We are neighbors and we are together, and I love this country so much. Some of the most patriotic people I have ever met are immigrants that come from other countries, and they're patriotic despite the way they are sometimes treated here. They still love this country so much, and they inspire me to love this country even more. I understand there are issues, and these are issues that need to be dealt with. I understand that we have to make sure that people coming into this country are respecting our laws. But there are ways to do this that still honor their humanity, and this bill is not it. Taking people and putting them on a plane when you cannot verify that they understand what is happening to them is not consent. It's involuntary trafficking of people from one place to another. They have no way of consenting if they don't understand what you're telling them. There are ways that we can work on immigration and reform it where we can all be proud of how we're doing it. And I'm telling you, this is not the way, and I'm imploring you all to please vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
I yield the floor to Representative Hinson.
Representative Hinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we're all a country of immigrants, some of us by force, some of us by choice. Realizing that I have powerless to stop this bill, and so are you, I filed an amendment to make it more humane. My amendment would have changed all references to inspected, authorized aliens to asylum seekers. My amendment would have prohibited the detention of asylum seekers and require voluntary participation in the program. My amendment would have prohibited the Division of Emergency Management from making monetary or employment promises to asylum seekers to induce them to participate. My amendment would have required the Division of Emergency Management to provide accurate information to asylum seekers concerning their destination. My amendment would have required the Division of Emergency Management to ensure the safety of the transport, and finally, relating to clause to transportation of asylum seekers. This bill mentions that the legislature believes that the federal government is failing to secure the nation's borders. I think we may all agree to that. But now you're trying to do it yourselves by implementing this bill. The Supreme Court of the United States has consistently given sole jurisdiction over immigration, including illegal immigration, to the federal government only. Yet here we are spending $10 million more dollars to try and do it ourselves or yourselves, and all this money may be usurped by the federal court. Supreme Court ruled that federal regulation of immigration supersedes any state legislation on immigration due to the supremacy clause of the Constitution. Yeah, I researched it. It's in Hines versus Davidovitz. State and local law enforcement officers cannot make arrests of asylum seekers for just existing here. They can only arrest them if they commit a crime, so I don't know how you're going to get them to go. And the consequences for enforcement of any immigrant is under the authority of the federal law enforcement, not the state. This is in Section 439 of the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996. I'm telling you this because what you're doing won't work. You're wasting taxpayers' money. Stop the madness. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the remainder of this time to Rep. Benjamin.
Representative Benjamin, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to speak in this debate, even though I'm the son of immigrants. My parents came to this country to seek the promise for which America represents. I quote again what Marie quoted in her speech. That plaque on the Statue of Liberty says, give us your tire. It says, give us your hungry. Give us your huddled masses yearning to be free. That's what America asked for. And that's what these people come here, whether they're fleeing for political asylum or whether they're coming here for a better life for themselves and their children. So let me echo once more that these immigrants are human beings, and we are treating them less than for political gamesmanship. We're shipping them not out of Florida. This bill proposes to ship people who have not even come to Florida to somewhere that's not Florida. Stop this false narrative that you're simply sending them to sanctuary cities. When we questioned this bill in committees, we asked whether there's even any coordination with the cities that you're taking them from or any coordination with the cities that you're taking them to. That's telling it in and of itself because there's no coordination. You don't seek to take them to somewhere where they're more welcome. You seek to make a point to the federal government, but you're playing with people's lives. You're saying that they're less than human beings because they didn't choose to do it the right way. But what's the right way when you're hungry? What's the right way when you're persecuted? What's the right way when you have no other choice, when you seek simply to survive? There is no person here whose life hasn't been touched by immigration. I stand here before you because of the efforts of immigrants that came to this country simply for a better life. Weren't chasing any persecution. My parents come from the islands of St. Martin and St. Kitts, but they wanted a better life for their children so that I can come and stand before you today. So when I talk today, I talk because I couldn't imagine my mother or father being subject to this law. Some of these people will come to join their families, and they'll be met with someone that tells them a narrative that they don't understand. And they'll be shipped to somewhere that they didn't want to go. They'll be shipped for somewhere where they'll have loved ones wondering where they're at. This bill, I'm going to call this bill what it is. It's simply cruel. It is cruel and unusual punishment. It tells immigrants that they are less than human beings. And I'm sorry if I get emotional about this because I come from a people who were told that they were less than human beings. We're better than this. This bill, no matter who gets up and talks after me, this bill is indefensible. This bill plays games with human beings' lives. If we don't want them to come here, then doing this bill, then let's have a resolution to our federal government that says, take the plaque off the Statue of Liberty. America's no longer open to immigrants. Let's send that message out in the world that we're closed for business. But we don't, because we know, and in Florida especially know, the benefit that we have to immigrants. Who's gonna work the jobs that we know that Americans don't work? Who's going to work the fields that we know that Americans don't work? We act as though they don't pay the taxes, like they don't buy goods and services here in this state. They act like they don't clean the homes, like they don't clean the hotels. Immigrants are a vital part of Florida. They're a vital part of this country. And I echo it again. My God, they're human beings. Not chess pieces. Stop playing with people's lives. Please vote this bill down.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
I yield the floor to Representative Gant.
Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I practiced immigration law for all of 6 months because even though I'm a criminal defense attorney, immigration law was just too heart-wrenching. And I just want to speak about the procedural part of it. So when a person enters the country, they are inspected. They receive a notice to appear. That notice of to appear is based on the address and the city that they have given to the federal government. What this bill seeks to do is then go after the federal government and give these people an option to go anywhere. However, there's no coordination with the city that they're going to. There's no coordination with the federal government. So there's no way to forward any information for them to appear and go, quote unquote, through the process the right way. This bill will, in essence, be a logistical nightmare for those who are here seeking asylum, for those who are here seeking the American dream, like so many of my colleagues have already spoken about for themselves or their parents. So I just wanted to put it on the record that there's no coordination with any of these quote unquote sanctuary cities. There's no coordination with the federal government. So in essence, when these migrants come and they receive the notice to appear and they don't appear in the federal court, which they were told to appear in, they will be treated like a fugitive when in actuality, that's not the case. The case is a lack of information because of this bill and what this bill will do. Additionally, when questioned, there was no information provided as to whether or not the information that these migrants are consenting to will even be in their language. So we all know that sometimes we can't remember conversations from 2 days ago. How are we to ensure that these people, given a translation through a translator, will remember every single detail about what they were told? And that's in essence what this bill will do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gottlieb, be recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the remaining time in this segment.
Representative Grant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Waive our time.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I call on Representative Tant.
Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to just start my comments with, as the great-great-great-granddaughter of a Native American woman from North Carolina, full-blooded Cherokee Indian, all y'all are immigrants, so welcome to Florida, everybody. And I love you. So I want to start by talking a little bit about this. Over the holidays, a friend of mine who wrote a book about 90 miles and a lifetime away about the history of the Cuban people, he actually gave a really amazing book talk. He documents in his book, based on working with national historians, that we are experiencing the fifth wave of Cuban human beings fleeing communist dictatorship and the model, the economic model set forth by Castro. So this wave of citizens that we are seeing coming here is the fifth wave. He also documented that because of this fifth wave and the flight from Cuba, folks, we resulted in 313,000 encounters at the border in 2022. According to this research, most of these folks fly into Nicaragua or Panama, then come up through Central America and Mexico, and then cross into Texas or Arizona. Not a single one of them are coming here, y'all, through this pathway. So I also learned in talking with him that something I didn't know, and that is the Biden administration created a parole program to stem the tide of migration, requiring any folks from either of these countries, Cuba, Nicaragua, Haiti, Venezuela, to find a sponsor to come into this country. And this sponsor had to help these folks with non-taxpayer dollars while they were here. And there were also it limits the number of folks per country who can come, and it also it's also got several other requirements. The test run of this program for Venezuelan citizens stopped 90% of the flow of Venezuelan human beings into our country because they could not get the sponsorship. So. And by the way, Florida is one of 18 states fighting this very program. The purpose of this program is to ensure that folks who enter our country have this financial sponsor so that we are not using taxpayer dollars to keep them in our country. Meanwhile, we in Florida are asked to vote for this bill today, which abuses the public trust of Florida's hardworking taxpayers, to alleviate the burden of other states to address asylum seekers there. Not here, there. And by the way, chief among our most sacred duties as legislators, in my view, and I think most of us here, is to fiercely safeguard the precious tax dollars that our citizens pay and are required to pay. Spending over $12 million to fly 50 people to Martha's Vineyard is something that we could use, and the $10 million we are further appropriating that we could use to take several hundred off of our most vulnerable citizens off the APD wait list. Not 50, several hundred. Not to mention the citizens, the senior citizens who are on wait lists for community and home-based care. Not to mention folks in search of Alzheimer's surgery. Not to mention assistance for our veterans. It can go on and on. We have an obligation to our state first, to invest in our state. I cannot abuse the taxpayers in my district by voting yes on this bill. They entrust me to protect them, and I ask you to do the same. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I call on Representative Chambliss.
Representative Chambliss, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I represent House District 117. It's in the Homestead, Florida city area of Miami-Dade County in South Dade, and it is home to tens of thousands, if not over 100,000 immigrant farm workers and families that are my neighbors and my residents. And we see the issues that happen when there are not enough resources, there are not enough support to make sure that my neighbors have everything we need. And then we come to this program as a potential solution with $10 million that is looked to be used as an expense to basically pass the buck along to some unknown entity that we have not made communications with. And so that's why I rise, because I feel that so far this has been presented in a very irresponsible way. I was just reading the article about how many of the immigrants who were flown to Martha's Vineyard felt like they were misled, felt like they were lied to with promises of jobs, promises of housing. They still aren't sure who the person is who lured them on to the plains. And now here we are again giving $10 million to the same type of program. During committee and during debate, we have asked for a plan. We have asked for a plan several times, and every time that we asked for a plan, that responsibility was passed on, similar to how we're passing this on to other cities, that responsibility was passed on to the Office of Emergency Management. So here we are looking to give $10 million to a program that has no plan. It has no plan on how to identify the individuals that will participate. It has no plan on how to inform them honestly and truthfully on what the program entails. It has no plan on what they will encounter at the end of that trip. It has no plan on who we have reached out to when we really could easily reach out to these destinations, create a partnership program, and make sure that there is someone on the other side, someone at those cities ready to meet and to greet them and to provide them with the proper support that we should be providing here in the state of Florida. It's interesting because here in the state of Florida, we have not always had the same posture when it's come to certain immigrant communities. In our past, we've been very, very welcoming to many immigrant communities, and that is the reason why they make up such a large portion of our workforce today, such a large portion of our agriculture community, our construction community. They are in the same schools now teaching, now a generation behind, becoming doctors, becoming lawyers. They are literally the fabric of what we know as the state of Florida. But all of a sudden, we want to change our posture to the immigrant community and let them know that the doors are closed here. If we had that posture 20 years ago, Florida would look very differently. If we had that posture 40 years ago, Florida would look very differently. This is not the American way, and I want to make sure that it's on the record that it's also not the way of Florida. It's important that we let the immigrant community know, those who are desperately leaving places that are so dangerous, none of us would dare even visit to even try to give them any kind of support. We don't want to go and visit these places because we're in fear of our lives. We wouldn't go and visit these places. And if it was our children that were in these places, we would do everything that we could to get them to a safer place. So let me just say this. Here in the state of Florida, my immigrant community, those who are seeking refuge from danger, we do welcome you. We have always welcomed you, and the truth is we will continue to welcome you. You are welcome here. There is support here. There are resources here because you wouldn't be the first that sought Florida out for a safer and better way of life. We will continue that. Regardless of what you hear from many of my other colleagues, that is not what we here in the state of Florida feel. That is not what we have practiced, and we will make sure that we continue to offer you the support, offer you the safety, and offer you open arms, because many of us know exactly how it is when you have to leave such a dangerous place. We do not agree with our colleagues. You are welcome here. Thank you.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I call on Representative Skidmore.
Representative Skidmore, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, Ronald Reagan said, the top nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. That's what this bill is. It's a lie. It's a message delivered with a disingenuous smile and a wink that we're offering humanitarian relief to migrants. I'm curious as to when Florida became so magnanimous. I'm curious as to when my fiscally conservative friends became complacent about accountability of taxpayer dollars. I'm curious as to how you can accept zero answers as to how $10 million of Floridians' money will be spent and accounted for. $10 million would allow 200 people to be removed from the APD waitlist. $10 million would help us battle against the real despotism of human trafficking. $10 million could easily be spent more ethically. I'm also curious as to how long it will take potential Republican presidential primary candidates to seek, find, and round up migrants from around these United States and send them right here to Florida. Exploiting and trafficking the most vulnerable would-be Americans as a notch in their belt in a fabricated competition to attract their voter base. A false offer of help that ultimately benefits the offerer reminds me of the reprehensible behavior of snake oil salesmen. Fiscal conservatives, I expected more from you. You can redeem yourself by voting no on this bill in sheep's clothing.
Representative Benjamin for Representative Gottlieb's desk.
We yield back our time in this segment.
Representative Grant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We waive our time in this segment.
Representative Benjamin from Representative Gottlieb's desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We recognize Representative Valdez.
Representative Valdez in debate.
Morning, Mr. Speaker, and thank you. Let me begin by saying that I am not a Cuban American. I was not born in Cuba. Having said that, I am a proud American of Cuban immigrants and heritage, raised by two amazing Cuban parents that began their journey for a better life during one of the toughest times in American history. It breaks my heart listening to my colleagues applaud and celebrate what I consider a form of cruelty and brutality. I know for a fact that Cubans, Venezuelans, Haitians, and Nicaraguans, and others look to these United States of America as a lighthouse serving as a beacon of hope of the day to live a life worth living, all while living their oppressed lives. I believe the term inspected authorized aliens is ill-defined as individuals released into the U.S. who have been inspected are authorized to stay upon certain conditions, and besides, they are in many cases admitted. Why, you may ask? Well, individuals apprehended, inspected, and released are in possession of documentation, whether it's through bonds, release under own recognizance, which is also known as the I-220A, or parole, which is known as I-94, which extend upon them certain rights. Yet here we are. Accordingly, under present immigration laws, they are afforded to have their day in court by simply applying for asylum relief, which is readily available online application, better known as the I-589. Therefore, they are in fact allowed to remain in U.S. soil. Some of my Republican colleagues believe that this migration is happening as human trafficking, and I fear to differ. I know the struggles of the people living on the island, as I see many of them in my district wanting to learn how to navigate so they do not make a mistake and get in trouble by not following the rules. Some of my Republican colleagues believe the migration happening is still, again, human trafficking. I know the struggles of the people living in that island because, you see, I still have family there. You wonder, how do I know this? I have family there. These individuals want to be part of the fabric of America. As a person of faith and believe in the common good, this measure is immoral and brutal. If Republicans would like to ship out these individuals, the legislative branch, the title of this measure should be more creative by calling it, this appropriation bill, the Voluntary Transportation Program for Inspected Aliens. Defining these as individuals authorized to enter in the U.S. upon present immigration law and who are willing to resettle out of the state of Florida. We are the Florida legislature, and here's another example of us giving up our power at the expenses of other souls. Last session, just think about this. Last session, we passed a resolution in support of the Ukrainians' plight for freedom, and this House stood with them. In fact, we created a day CSHB 395 called Victims of Communism Day and designated November 7th as that day. How will history books compare and contrast the law we passed in 2022 with Senate Bill 6B that we are about to pass? What do you think this is going to see? Setting aside $10 million of Florida taxes for the trafficking of immigrants from other states to other states is irresponsible at best. I am enamored by how many times President Biden was mentioned in presenting this bill. I guess he must be doing something right. Remember, we Floridians are lucky to have a healthy fund balance, and this is made possible because last year's budget was funded with 37% of the budget were federal dollars due to the generosity of President Biden's vision of recovery during the pandemic that hit us all very hard. Because he is a president for all the people, whether they are Republican, Independents, Democrats, white, black, Hispanic, male, female, regardless of their gender, regardless of your sexuality. We have so much need here in our beautiful state. We really do. How about using this money to better assist and care for the 30,000 plus foster children we have in this system? How about using these dollars to assist Floridians with affording their home? How about we use some of this money to alleviate the homeowners insurance crisis we have? We are kicking Floridians out of their own homes, and we don't care. How about assisting our diabetic senior citizens with low-cost insulin? This is the good we must see coming from this house, the people's house. It's their house. It's their taxes. Amendments were introduced by my colleagues, and they were very good amendments, shot down immediately. These immigrants are coming to what my Republican colleagues call the free state of Florida. I guess it isn't that free, is it? Members in the front row, we started today's session with a prayer asking to open your minds and open your hearts. Have some compassion. Have some compassion. And I know I'm speaking almost to an empty room, but that's okay, because people in the back are hearing this too. Most of our families came from somewhere else, and I bet some of your family members came to Florida illegally and weren't treated like we were treating those souls, these souls in search of freedom from dictatorship, authoritarian, and fascist nations. On the contrary, they were welcomed and helped. Today, many folks that came in from through the Pedro Pan trip back in the 60s, Camarioca, and even the Mariel boat lift are successful in America because a chance was afforded to them. Members, I cannot support this measure as I deeply care for others. Members, I ask you to vote no on this horrific bill.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the floor to Representative Edmonds.
Representative Edmonds, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If our founding fathers came from Europe, wouldn't they be considered immigrants? Between 1820 and 1860, the Irish, and many of them Catholic, account for the estimated of one-third of all immigrants to the United States. Some 5 million German immigrants also came to the United States. In 1880, as America began a period of industrialization and urbanization, a second immigration boom began. Between 1880 and 1920, more than 20 million immigrants arrived. The majority are from Southern, Eastern, and Central Europe, including 4 million Italians and 2 million Jews. Between 1960 and 1962, roughly 14,000 unaccompanied children fled Fidel Castro's Cuba and came to the United States as a part of a secret plan called Operation Peter Pan. Illegal deportation of immigrants from Florida with taxpayer dollars is wrong for several reasons. Firstly, it is a violation of human rights, and it goes against the values of justice and fairness that our society was built on. Secondly, it is a misuse of taxpayers' dollars, which should be used for more productive purposes such as public services, infrastructure, and education. If Florida is truly a free state, we would all vote no and make sure that we send a message that Florida is a free state for all and not for some with a certain hue. Thank you.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
I yield the remainder in this time to Representative Lopez.
Representative Lopez, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How do Floridians benefit from this so-called migrant relocation program? In fact, one in five Florida residents is an immigrant, and our state benefits enormously from the diversity, energy, and contributions of our immigrant communities. Immigrants have been particularly critical to our state's economic success. Immigrants feel critical labor shortage in key industries, from healthcare and hospitality to construction and agriculture. This is especially important given our current inflation crisis that has been worsened by unprecedented labor shortage levels. For example, as of this past fall, there were 1.6 million open hospitality jobs, a workforce which prior to the pandemic comprised about 30 to 40% of foreign-born workers. Our businesses, particularly in key industries at the core of the Florida economy, are in dire need of new workers. And these migrants that this administration wants to continue trafficking across the country come here to work. Even my legislative aide, who is a hardworking Venezuelan who fled the Maduro regime when he was just 18 and is currently waiting for his asylum to be approved, is terrified by this bill. As well, immigrants in Florida generate billions of dollars each year in business revenue, helping to create American jobs and boost our economy. Just in Orlando, 36% of our business owners and entrepreneurs are immigrants. with more than $8 billion per year in business income. Over 400K immigrant business owners account for a third of all self-employed Florida residents. Where would this city and state be if not for the work of immigrants? Plainly speaking, this legislature is putting politics first and our economy last. Instead of focusing on the issues that Florida-based businesses are currently facing, this legislature continues to traumatize these immigrant families despite the fact that they would make our economy, businesses, and communities stronger. Ya basta. I will continue to pray for you, so God, move your heart to vote against this unfair bill. Please vote against HB 5B. Thank you.
Representative Gottlieb, you recognize?
I yield the remainder of time in this segment.
Representative Grant, you recognized?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would you please recognize Representative Barkeen in debate?
Representative Fernandez-Barkeen in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, there's some facts that I just want to throw out here. Since our border is unprotected, and since December, 38 terrorists from the terror watch list have crossed the border and been confirmed to have been in the United States, and we removed them. Those are the ones that we know. We don't know what other terrorists are here. As for the allegations that in Miami-Dade County, these individuals that should not be in the United States have not made it to Florida. I had a great conversation with one of the school board members from Miami-Dade County explaining to me how the amount of children, the influx of children into Miami-Dade County public school systems have now resulted in them using all the funds that they have for their ESOL program, for the English speaking as a second language. So currently they're in a debt of $9 billion and they're asking us to fund that. This program, in addition to that, there's roughly about 15,000 children in Miami-Dade County Public Schools that have been enrolled this academic year that they suspect don't have papers, to say politely. At the end of the day, and Representative Snyder, my esteemed colleague Representative Snyder, mentioned this yesterday, this program is voluntary. Any individual who wants to hitch a free ride to a sanctuary state has the right to do so, and we're helping them do so. They're going to get more benefits in this sanctuary state or city than they would here, and we're simply providing them with a free ticket. Thank you.
Representative Grant, you recognized?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Waive our time in the remainder of this segment.
Representative Gottlieb, you recognized?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the floor to Representative Escamani.
My friend, Representative Escamani, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. I was just taking a deep breath listening to my colleagues' debate because we are talking about, especially in the context of children, vulnerable people. And I will be candid in saying that I think Democrats and Republicans have failed in immigration. I don't think there's any way you can sugarcoat that. We've had Democratic administrations and Republican administrations in the last 20 years, and yet here we are with this crisis. And the crisis that we're dealing with is not just domestic, it's also international, where you have folks that are leaving their home countries because they are in search of a better life, which is what my parents did when they left Iran and found each other in Orlando, where I am born and raised. And so the immigrant experience is it's shared, but it's also unique. Because there's different reasons why and different paths that people find themselves to call this great country home. When it comes to the border, and I asked questions about this yesterday, the Biden administration has actually, I would argue, carried on Trump-era policies. And in fact, I was just doing some quick research. Arrests along the U.S.-Mexico border topped 2 million a year for the first time. And obviously, you know, arrest numbers are also based upon the expansion of people coming to the border. But I want to be clear that when folks throw around rhetoric that the border is open, that's not true. Arrests are happening. Deportations are happening. And they happened under President Obama, just like they happened under President Trump, just like they happened right now under President Biden. And I also want to emphasize as well that when it comes to the humane treatment of our asylum seekers, Democrats and Republicans have failed on that front. And so we're not here to debate that the system is broken, but we are here to debate the solutions. And Mr. Speaker, I would argue that spending public money to transport individuals is a political stunt. And I asked that question yesterday, and I was told it was not germane to the bill. It is germane to the situation, because we know that with the state budget last year that many of us unfortunately had to vote for, even though we asked questions about this, tried to seek transparency, wanted to get it removed, we were stuck with the budget, and most of us felt like we had to vote for it, Mr. Speaker, because we have other projects in the budget too. And we all know that's the harsh reality, is not every bill is gonna have everything you like, let alone a huge budget like Florida's that is federally funded by some upwards 40%. Now, with that said, just because you have the money doesn't mean you spend it this way. And my colleague, Representative Skidmore, outlined many better ways we can spend $10 million. And as I sit here managing constituent services, this week alone, our office got 5 different constituent calls about housing, including single mothers who need resources. And when you talk about our migrant children, Mr. Speaker, a lot of those programs are also funded by the federal government. Our school districts get support to spend money on children that are unaccompanied. And so the attempt to paint this picture as being all state resources is once more false. The federal government pays a great deal to support the immigration system and support children that are either undocumented or unaccompanied, who, let me remind you, are children and don't play a role in how they got here and should be loved and cherished no matter what. The last point I'll make is our governor broke the law, and instead of fighting the law, he is changing the law. And if I broke the law, especially a member of the minority caucus, I could not change it, Mr. Speaker. And so I don't understand why we just give away this ultimate power to one individual who should live up to the consequences of breaking the law. Because when my constituents break the law, they got to go through the judicial process to figure out if they're guilty or not. And that is still pending right now on this very case. And so instead of finding the law, he's come here to change the law because he has a book coming out very soon. I assume some folks here pre-ordered it. I have not and won't. But the reality is that we have a governor setting up a presidential bid, and this is basically his attempt to get earned media time on Fox News, which is why yesterday I asked questions, is there any protection of filming folks who are transported? Can this be leaked to the media? And the answers were, they can be leaked to the media and folks can be filmed. That is not an immigrant system, my friends. That is a political stunt. That is you spending public money for airtime. And I just can't even think of a worse way to not only use public funds, but to treat our fellow humans who don't want to be caught up in a let alone a broken system. They don't want to be caught up in a politically motivated airtime that are negatively impacting their humanity. And so with that, members, I encourage you to vote no on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the remainder of the time to Leader Pro Tem, Representative Joseph.
Representative Joseph, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This that we're voting on is nothing but a political game that we're playing with people's lives, real people. And what we're saying, in no uncertain terms, is you are not welcome. One of my friends back home in South Florida was telling me a story about how she got to the United States. She remembers clearly the signs that said, no blacks, no Cubans, and no dogs. This is a go back somewhere else. Go anywhere but here. When we talk about the Supremacy Clause in the Constitution, there are some things that are clear. Federal laws provide carefully calibrated definitions for a lot of these immigration terms. This inspected unauthorized alien definition that is created here does not exist in immigration law. SB 6 creates its own definition of immigration status, not found in federal immigration law, and it makes it so that law enforcement and or Division of Emergency Management staff or random contractors who we don't always know about are determining somebody's immigrational status. Who constitutes this weird, inspected, unauthorized alien? And federal immigration, in order to offer these relocation services that are purportedly voluntary, So separate from the Supremacy Clause issues, there's issues with constitutional concerns about interstate commerce, the 14th Amendment protections, 1983 acting under color of law. It's reminiscent of fugitive slave laws where you can go anywhere to go track down people. And it is literally a copycat of the Reverse Freedom Rides. If you don't know what that is, you really should Google it. There is federal money that already exists to help people with relocation, wherever they need to. That money's already there. The feds do not need our $10 million. You know who needs that money? Floridians. There is no coordination with the federal government in this program. There is no coordination with the receiving states with this program. So any connection to the state's police powers on whatever this bogus and clearly political motivated, and I say clearly, like they told us it's politically motivated, to take people to these self-identified sanctuary states. You know what's going on? We're in a crisis. The reason people leave these countries, it's because they're in a crisis. It's not about deterrence. It's not about your laws, borders open, not borders open. It's not about any of the stuff that y'all like to use talking points about. People are leaving because something very terrible is going on at home. People are dying. They're getting raped. They're getting beaten. They're getting robbed. And they just want to live. That's why people are leaving. All this little stuff y'all sit here doing, playing with people, it's just mean. And if I came a little hard yesterday, it's because I do not like injustice. I don't like when people are bullying people, and I don't like when you're mistreating them. And I don't apologize for that. Deterrence does not work, and certainly not in this form. Putting aside the painful fact that these programs are a replay of this racist reverse freedom ride foolishness, I want to talk about some of the other legal concerns briefly, and I'll close out with something else. This just hurts, y'all. Like I'm trying, but it hurts. It hurts to see how people are treating other people. States can neither add nor take away from conditions lawfully imposed by Congress upon admission, naturalization, and residence of non-citizens in the United States. That's something that's reserved to the federal government. And here, Florida is not seeking to cooperate with the federal government to support enforcement. In fact, we've heard over and over again from the bill sponsors how Florida is doing the exact opposite. We're setting up our own parallel immigration enforcement system or transportation system and cutely trying to call it voluntary because of what it deems to be the federal government's failed immigration response. The state's actions interfere with the comprehensive scheme governing the movement of aliens within the United States. And that is an unconstitutional and impermissible complement to the INA, which is inconsistent with Congress's objective. And the 11th Circuit has held that the federal government has clearly expressed more than a peripheral concern with the entry, movement, and residence of aliens within these United States. And to close out, because I know I'm not going to have the last word. Somebody else is itching to have it on the other side, separate from the bill sponsor. And I just want to leave you with some words from Moses on how we should treat foreigners in our land. Number one, we should love them. And that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 18 and 19. And I'll read it for you. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. Does this program demonstrate love or does it foment hate? When people come here on New Year's Eve, or Christmas Eve, actually, that actually happened. People come here on Christmas Eve and you trick them and send them and drop them off in front of the vice president's house to prove a political point. Is that what we did with Jesus? When he and his family were seeking refuge the night he was born? Is that what we did? Did we say, no, we're not going to keep you in Bethlehem. We're going to ship you off somewhere else. We're not going to tell anybody that, but that's what we're going to do with you. Exodus 22, verses 21 and chapter 23, verses 9, both tell us, do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt. Is using people as political pawns in the xenophobic scheme to earn political presidential points, is that how we treat a foreigner in our land? Is tricking people who are seeking refuge to fly them away on private planes at exorbitant amounts, hundreds of thousands of dollars per person, and dumped off in a sanctuary jurisdiction, mistreating them? These are questions for you to answer as you vote. Leviticus 19, 33 and 34. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourselves. You were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Whether you believe in God or not, these principles are not complicated. You just love people, regardless of where they're born. There is nothing that makes any human being more or less important based on what soil they happen to be born in. Everybody is a human being. Everybody deserves dignity. And we should love people. We should not hate people. We should love people. And our policies should not be weaponized to foment this political foolishness and perpetuate the hate.
Representative Joseph, your time has expired. Representative Grant.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would you please recognize Representative Michael in debate?
Representative Michael, you recognize in debate.
Thank you, Speaker. I'd like to thank Representative Snyder for bringing this legislation forward. And as a member, a proud member of the House of Representatives, and I'm so grateful to be here, I stand in support of this bill. What we have to recognize is, number one, our governor's responsibility is to protect the residents, the citizens, the lawful citizens of this state. And that is what he's doing. Number two, I want to also point out, we are forgetting something very important. We have a legal process to come into this nation. There's no reason to go illegally. And we're forgetting about the people who are paying the fees, who are taking the classes, who have been waiting in line to come into this nation, and that will proudly be glad to become citizens of this nation. And the whole goal is not to become and remain an illegal, but to become an American citizen. And they're proud of that. I've talked to many of them. And we're also forgetting parents like myself who have had to bury their child because illegal immigration took their lives, because our laws have not stood to protect American citizens. Our job as legislators is not to stand up and withhold and quote that writing that's on the Statue of Liberty. We took an oath to uphold the laws of the state of Florida in the United States. And for that, I will not apologize. I will not back down. I will say this legislation is perfect. It is what we need. And we have to do something. I've been to the border. I've seen children who were dragged through the desert. I've seen children drown in the Rio Grande with my own eyes. I've seen our Border Patrol on the brink of taking their own lives because they're being attacked. I've seen ranchers who have to take dead bodies off of their property because people are drowning in the Rio. I've seen this with my own eyes. I've talked to other parents like myself who's had to bury their children. And it's because people are here breaking the laws, and I'm not saying every one of them, but they are. The reality is over 5 million have come in this country within 2 years. And if we want to sit here and pretend as if they're all coming because they are seeking asylum, yeah, I think I can sell you icicles all the way from Alaska. Because we know that that can't be the truth. That is not the reality. We know that there are people who are taking advantage of weak leadership out of Washington, D.C. And our governor, God bless him, for standing up and protecting Floridians, protecting our citizens, protecting us, making sure that we right this. We cannot make things perfect, but we have to do something. And that is our responsibility. Thank you very much.
Representative Grant, you're recognized.
Waive the remainder of our time in this segment.
Representative Snyder, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just want to, again, commend Representative Michael for helping us to recenter the conversation and bring this back to what we're talking about today. And the reason that we're here. I said it earlier this morning. I wish, members, that this was not a bill we did have to take up. But what we know is that over the last 2 years, we have seen deliberate acts. On the very first day that President Joe Biden took office, one of his very first acts was to unilaterally defund $1.4 billion that was set and already allocated by Congress to the completion of the southern border wall. And by doing that, he sent a very clear message to the rest of the world. It wasn't give us your poor, your tired, your huddled masses. He said, the door is open. Come on in. But you know what he failed to do, members? He failed to have a plan because he knew it was pure hypocrisy from the get-go. You know, I love to play the game, let's quote the presidents. And so let's just take a look back and see. Barack Obama, we simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked, circumventing the line of people who are waiting patiently, diligently, and lawfully to become immigrants in this country. You know why he said that? Because he understands the simple lesson that we're all taught on our first day of kindergarten. When you get in line, you wait your turn. You don't skip those that came before you. Bill Clinton, illegal immigration costs the taxpayers of the United States a lot of money. It's unfair to Americans who are working every day to pay their own bills. It's also unfair to a lot of people who have been waiting in line for years and years in other countries to be legal immigrants. Joe Biden in 2006, folks, I voted for a fence. I voted unlike most Democrats, and some of you won't like it. I voted for over 700 miles of fence. But then again, on the first day of his administration, he vetoes $1.4 billion. And while Washington, D.C. stands idling by, observing the crisis that they created, Governor Ron DeSantis and this body, including every single member in here, except for one, I was wrong, Representative Joseph, I know you did not vote for the budget last year, but every single one of us that was here last year voted to approve this program. Because, again, Governor DeSantis is taking action, and that's what we're doing today. We are addressing the emergency, and at the end of the day, folks, when we talk about the hypocrisy, the last point I'll make is that what we're talking about are chartered flights to get folks off of the streets and up to sanctuary jurisdictions so their taxpayers can pay for these folks, not the hardworking people of Florida. Members, hope to have your favorable support. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I close.
Representative Snyder, having closed on his bill, the question now recurs on final passage of SB 6B. The clerk will unlock the machine and the members will proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? The clerk will lock the machine and announce the vote.
77 yeas, 34 nays, Mr. Speaker.
Show the bill passes. Read the next bill.
By Senator Martin, Senate Bill 4B, a bill to be entitled An Act Relating to the Statewide Prosecutor.
Representative Fernandez-Barquin, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is a bill that we heard yesterday.
Succinct. Very nice. Are there any amendments?
None on the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Members, we are going into structured debate on SB 4B. Debate will be limited to 10 minutes per side and 10-minute increments. Total debate time not to exceed 20 minutes. Representative Gottlieb, you are recognized to begin in debate, and the clerk will start the debate clock. I'm sorry, say that again, sir.
I yield the floor to Rep. Bracey Davis. Thank you.
Representative Bracey Davis, in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And good morning, members. Zora Neale Hurston said, there are years that ask questions and there are years that answer them. Decades ago, the question was asked of this country, particularly pioneers of the civil rights movement, pertaining to freedom, equality, and the right to vote. We are currently in the years that answer those questions. Moreover, we are answering questions from years past that beg of an answer of inclusion, ease, and accessibility as it relates to our right to vote. Instead, our answer is intimidation, barriers, and suppression. Our answer to these right to vote inquiries of yesteryear should be, there is nothing more foundational to our country and our democracy than the right to vote. Not poll taxes, literacy tests, scare tactics, and barriers used as a tool. What intimidates you about returning citizens, black and brown people, and marginalized communities who want to vote? What message are you afraid of that they will cast in their vote? What are you scared of? I am not sure, but what I am sure of is just like hurt people, scare people. Let's not be afraid of democracy and censor the will of the people. This bill on election crime prosecution is majoring in a minor and trying to fix a problem that does not exist. Please join me in voting down on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cassell from Representative Gottlieb's desk.
I yield the floor to Representative Henson, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Henson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm so proud of our freshmen. Just saying, when citizens serve their time, they should be able to have their civil rights restored. This bill is an intentional act by the legislature to manipulate the judicial process to fit a political position. This administration only seek to snatch these cases from the hands of state attorneys because of the independent discretion that they hold when choosing which cases to take. The expansion of the jurisdiction of statewide prosecutor is being used to yet another tool to disenfranchise black voters. This administration's targeted arrest and prosecution of returning citizens has been met with a roadblock. And in the same way that the legislature has changed voting laws year after year when the results don't match their expectations, so too is the legislature changing the rules of the game when they find themselves in a losing position. Stop the madness. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cassell from Representative Gottlieb's desk.
I yield the floor to Representative Gant, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gant, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The government has a process, and there's a process for everything, including registering to vote. In this particular instance, what this bill seeks to correct is a breakdown in the process. I believe that the answer is to fix the process instead of prosecute more Floridians. To that end, the Secretary of State said that they work with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 7 different agencies to verify when a person is eligible to vote, and they still issued a voter registration for persons they deemed ineligible to vote. So the answer would be to fix the process, find out where the breakdown was in the process, and to take responsibility as servants of the people instead of prosecuting more Floridians. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cassell from Representative Gottlieb's desk.
I yield the floor to Representative Escamani, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Escamani, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. Members, I don't know if everyone here saw the body cam footage from the arrest that took place from this elections office. And if you saw it, you would understand the frustration that many of us have in watching those films, where we sense our law enforcement officers who have actual real crime to go after to arrest returning citizens, many who are our elders, many who had left prison decades ago and thought that under Amendment 4, they had the right to vote restored to the point where they were mailed a voter registration card. We had folks in Orange County that after that amendment passed, they called the SOE, they called Division of Elections and were told they could vote. There's a reason why these cases are being tossed out. And there's a reason why we're concerned about voter suppression and intimidation, because the message this body is sending is that if you're a returning citizen, you better watch out. Even after they served their time, even after they paid their fees and fines, we're telling y'all that we still don't want you to vote. Which, by the way, some of those folks arrested voted for Trump. So this is not a partisan issue. These are just our fellow Floridians who based on a voter reg card showing up in their mailbox, thought they could vote. And now, again, we're changing the law to prosecute them, to send them back to the criminal legal system when we have actual crimes to deal with. And so our opposition to this is not because we don't care about voter fraud. Mr. Speaker, I filed an amendment yesterday to go after fake candidates in 3 different Senate races. We have plenty of examples to go after, but this is not one of them. And I'm incredibly concerned that because there are some in the Republican base who think elections were stolen, that we're feeding that narrative and once more funding our governor's presidential bid. And so I ask folks to be intentional when it comes to actual elections crime, and let's not reincarcerate people who simply voted without intent to commit fraud, who voted because they thought they could. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cassell from Representative Gottlieb's desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the floor to Representative Hart.
Representative Hart, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Those who hate dissent will try to stifle it, and this bill is another attempt to do just that. The Bible says that God works in mysterious ways, but apparently this legislature does too. This office was created to crack down on organized crime in Florida. Registering to vote is certainly not that. The cruelty of this bill is clear. We're still dealing with the consequences of this House's failure to implement Amendment 4. I was here in this chamber and witnessed the night that the legislature went against the will of the Floridians and passed a poll tax in order to keep returning citizens from voting. We sat here in the chamber on the hill in Tallahassee and told John in Monroe County and Jessica in Marion County and David in Escambia that although you've served your time and voters of the state have agreed that you should be able to vote, you unfortunately don't have the money to afford that right. We attached a civil penalty to a person's eligibility to vote, and we know that it was another voter suppression, because if it was truly about the integrity of the vote, then those who still owe debts would have been able to vote and still pay off their debts. That's the sad part about all of this, is that we don't even have a feasible way for individuals to know whether or not they have restitution remaining. The only way they will know is when police officers show up to your home to arrest you for a crime that they didn't even know about. And if you watch the videos, you know when the police arrest people, they were saying, "Why are you arresting me?" And the police are saying, "I don't really know. It's about vote or something." And now this legislature is adding to the offense by saying that because we, the government, sent your voter information to Tallahassee to be verified, you now have committed another crime simply because it crossed judicial circuit lines. We have scared thousands of people around the state from exercising their God-given right to have a voice in their government. This is a fear tactic, and it's voter suppression, plain and simple. And people would see that if we were allowed to talk about history of voter suppression against marginalized people in this country. The next time a case goes to trial in Florida legislature should be listed as a co-defendant, because it is us who has caused it. The confusion of returning citizens as it relates to voting is our fault. We caused this crime, and if there's a punishment to be had, it should be on us. Florida is the third largest state in this country, and instead of one of the most powerful legislatures using their power to help people struggling with rents, property insurance, we instead choose to further disenfranchise people. So let's choose this day.
Representative Hart, let's wrap it up, please. Down. Representative Grant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Waive our time.
Representative Fernandez-Barquin, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this bill brings the statute in line with the state constitution. It doesn't expand any constitutional duties. In addition to that, this further protects the integrity of our most sacred right, the right to vote. This ensures fraud will be investigated and prosecuted to the full extent of the law, the way it should. Thank you.
Representative Fernandez-Barquin, having closed on his bill, the question now recurs on final passage of SB 4B. The clerk will unlock the machine and the members will proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Have all members voted? The clerk will lock the machine and announce the vote.
77 yeas, 33 nays, Mr. Speaker.
Show the bill passes. Read the next bill.
By Senator Albritton, Senate Bill 2B, a bill to be entitled An Act Relating to Emergency Response.
Representative G. Lombardo, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's the bill from yesterday.
Are there amendments?
None on the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Members, we're going into structured debate on SB 2B. Debate will be limited to 10 minutes per side in 10-minute increments. Total debate time not to exceed 20 minutes. And I'll remind everybody this is our last bill of the day. Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized to begin in debate, and the clerk will start the debate clock. Representative Gant from Representative Gottlieb's desk, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We yield the time to Representative Escamani.
Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think you were reminding me that it was the last bill of the day, so I appreciate that reminder. As folks, I know how many things to do. I just want to say thank you to the sponsor of this bill,
As a member of the Central Florida delegation in Orange County, we want to do whatever we can to support those impacted by Hurricanes Ian and Nicole. But I do want to ask the body to please consider the need, not just for our small businesses who are impacted, not just for our governments that are impacted, but also our renters. This morning, I already mentioned the number of tenants issues coming to my office of folks who cannot afford their rent right now. And it is connected to the impact of the storms. And so I do encourage folks, as we continue to discuss the impacts of these natural disasters, also emphasize the need of our renters here in the great state of Florida. With that, I encourage everyone to vote up on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further debate. Representative Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We yield the remainder of our time in this segment.
All right, is there further debate? Further debate, seeing none, Representative Jill Lombardo, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Having waved close, the question now recurs on final passage of SB 2B. The clerk will unlock the machine and the members will proceed to vote. Have all members voted. Have all members voted. Clerk will lock the machine and announce the vote.
106 yeas, Mr. Speaker.
Show the bill passes. Read the next bill.
None on the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Are there bills on the special order calendar?
None on the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Are there resolutions on the desk?
None on the desk, Mr. Speaker.
Are there announcements? Announcements. Representative Bartleman. You're recognized.
Thank you, Speaker. Representative Gottlieb, Woodson, Robinson. We are here today because Officer Charles Herring, a veteran, a public servant who served the city of Pembroke Pines since 2002, was killed in the line of duty yesterday. So I am here today asking for you all to take a moment of silence and keep him and his family in your prayers.
Members, please join us in a moment of silence for Officer Charles Herring of the Pembroke Pines Police Department. Thank you, members. Are there additional announcements? Representative Rizzo from Representative Perez's desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, today I rise to remember and ask for a moment of silence and recognition from this House for a longtime resident of my district and a mentor to several of us in this chamber. Manny Diaz Sr. passed away last week, and it was after a short battle that he had been embroiled with Alzheimer's disease. He died with his family surrounding him at peace. And of course, that name lets everyone know that a former member of ours, former member of this House, friend to many of us, is his son, and the current Commissioner of Education for the state of Florida, Manny Diaz Jr. So, Mr. Speaker, I ask that we recognize his father with a moment of silence.
Members, let's spend a moment of silence for the father of our former colleague, Manny Diaz Jr., and remember Manny Diaz Sr. Please join me. Thank you, members. Are there additional announcements? Representative Joseph.
Thank you.
Wow, I guess this is an unfortunate trend. The father of former Representative Ronald Brise, former chair of our Utilities Commission, his dad also passed away. So I ask for a moment of silence for him.
Members, please join us in a moment of silence for the father of Ronald Brise. Thank you, members. Leader Driscoll, recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I have to, and condolences to all of the families and communities that have lost loved ones or upstanding members of the community. We recently watched in horror as Turkey and Syria experienced a devastating earthquake that has left many children without fathers and mothers, and many fathers and mothers without their children. And so I thought that it would be appropriate and befitting as a chamber if we had a moment of silence for the victims of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria.
Members, please join in a moment of silence for the victims of the earthquake near Turkey. Thank you. Further announcements, Representative LaMarca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and hate to include this in our this trend, but thankful I was given excused absence a couple weeks ago, and after I found out a dear friend of ours passed away back at home, Stephen Stoll, who was very involved in local politics, certainly somebody that I leaned on quite a bit. Somebody at 53 years old was in the best shape of anyone in this room or anybody I've ever met, played tennis 7 days a week, had an aneurysm, and we lost him the next day. And just a great family, and we'll certainly miss him back in South Florida.
Members, please join in a moment of silence for Stephen Stoll. Thank you. Further announcements before we wrap up. Leader Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did have one more announcement, and I think because we could all use a little love and uplifting and togetherness, next week is Valentine's Day on Tuesday. And per tradition, I will be cooking chicken and waffles for all of you. So please stop by on Valentine's Day between 8 a.m. and 9:30 in room 316 in the Capitol, and let's have a little fellowship. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Leader Driscoll. It's a good one to wrap up on. Representative Perez, you're recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House do now adjourn, sine die.
Representative Perez moves that the House adjourn, sine die. All in favor, signify by... I think that's a yes. Opposed, no. So the motion approved, the House is adjourned, sine die.